You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So a girl's identity in Christ is a profound and transformative concept rooted in Christian beliefs. Understanding one's identity in Christ involves recognizing and internalizing the truth of who they are as individuals created and loved by God. Here are the key aspects to explore when discussing a girl's identity in Christ. And we are joined on the line by Sister Ruth Chagwinye here. She is in fact a life coach, so she's going to be helping us to unpack this thing. How do we now help our girl children to know who they are, you know, in this crisis? Sister Ruth, good morning, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you doing? Nice to talk to you this year.
Yes, you know, everyone I'm speaking to, I'm saying if I speak to you for the first time, even if it's the last day of January, I'm gonna say compliments.
compliments, indeed.
Indeed. Sister Ruth, you know, before we get to it, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray so that the Holy Spirit may guide us in this conversation?
Okay, shall we pray? Our Father who is in heaven, we come before you this morning. God, we thank you for allowing us to meet once again. Dear Father, Lord, we don't take this for granted. Now, Lord, we commit the task that is before us into your hands, dear Father, this conversation, dear God. Father, we pray that it may be you speaking through us, dear God, and not us speaking, dear Lord. We ask for divine guidance, divine wisdom, dear Father. And we pray for the listeners, Lord, that they may also be blessed, dear God. This is my prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen and amen. You know, having these girl children and having to talk to them, you know, about their identity in Christ can be a bit tricky and interesting at the same time, because we have a lot of external factors that are there, you know, that are telling them about identity, about everything else. But why is it important for us, Sister Ruth, you know, to sit down with these children and say, baby girl, this is who you are in Christ, and help them to understand that identity in Christ rather than everything else that they are seeing around them?
Okay. That is a very good question, a very important question. And I think what we first need to do is come to the grassroots of the matter. Mm-hmm. And let us first define what identity is. And I looked it up, and it says that it's distinguishing characteristics and traits that make an individual or a group unique. Mm-hmm. It encompasses aspects like personal beliefs, values, culture, and social roles that contribute to a sense of self or a collective belonging. Mm. And with that being said, our girls, you know, they are at an age that is so critical, that is so crucial. And when you look at theories like that of, there's a theory by Erik Erikson of, it's called the theory of psychological, psychosocial development. And he says he has grouped like all age groups. There's about 8 different age groups. And at every stage, there's something that should be expected from, you know, that age group, something that each individual begins to feel, begins to look for, begins to search for. And he talks about the ages, the adolescent age between 12 to 18. And he says at that stage, the adolescent begins to look for a sense of identity. Mm-hmm. They want to belong. They want to be a part. They want to be something. And you see it a lot in our teenagers today. You see it a lot that they are searching, they are looking, even if they don't know what they are doing, you know, they are doing it. We look at teenagers today, it will be, you know, they want to identify with a certain group, they will dress that way. They want to identify with a certain group, they'll talk that way. They want to be unique, you know, to stand out for something, to yep. stand out with something, to say, I am this, I am that. Mm. We look at a typical case of the something that's been going on in the past, is it year or two, the Latrizis, you know?
Yes.
It's they want their kids who are hungry for identity.
Yep.
They are hungry for belonging. They want to be a part of something. And so they, you know, they have found themselves in this group where they feel they can identify. It's not a case of, do I agree with what they are doing or what they're doing? As long as you are a part, as long as they can say, I'm a Latrizi. You know, that's what matters to them. That's what your child is looking for. And so where does this, you know, how then does one define the identity? How does one find the identity? Mm. But with that being said, we're also saying that's the importance of identity
yep.
to a teenager at the moment. That's how big it is to them. As parents, we can look and say, they're going through a crisis, you know, kids are being naughty and whatnot. They're just misbehaving. You will beat them. You will naughty corner them. You will, you know, confiscate their phones. Hey, you're being exposed to social media and whatever. You need to do more church, more pathfinders kind of thing.
Mm.
But when we come back to the grassroots, your child is looking for a place to identify.
Hey.
Your child is looking for a place to belong. Your child is looking to the, you know, it's beyond family now. It's beyond just saying, your name is Ruth and you belong to this family. It's beyond that. And so I'm encouraging parents to say, think of your child. What are they looking for? What do they want? And in knowing that, how then do you as a parent be relevant to your child? How do you meet your child in their point of need? How are you guiding them? How are you helping them? And so I'm saying identity is a big deal. Identity is a big thing in our teenagers right now. And it's something that we as parents really need to look into.
And we've seen you see those abo mama, those ones, you know, that, I think that title belongs to a special kind of women, you know, that they are rooted in Christ. They know Christ. And sometimes when now they're facing these challenges, they go back to that, you know. So does having that foundation, this is Ruth, you know, that identity we're speaking with and you being rooted in Christ, does it help us, you know, to have that stability when life throws us lemons? Because life is going to throw us lemons, guys. Like, it's going to be a lot, you know. Does that help us?
Let me come back to the beginning of everything once again. Let me come back to the grassroots. We can't just, you know, gloss over things and simplify things and make them look good and pretty and make people happy. You know, let's come back to the beginning of everything. What is a foundation? Right. A foundation is a basis. Right. A foundation is a root. A foundation is the beginning. Right. And so when you now want to say, when storms of life have come, how do you become umama womthandazo? How does that happen? Where did that come from? How did umama womthandazo become umama womthandazo? How did she become that? How did it happen? It was because of a foundation. In a building, when you are building, you begin with what? With the foundation. For a building to stand, you need a solid foundation, solid ground to build in. And you need a strong foundation. So we come back again and say, what is the solid ground? What is this foundation? The solid ground is character, which is built from the day one is born. Character. I come back once again to parents. Parents, the foundation that you set for your child is what is defining their character, is building up their character. You need to build up your child's character. Right. And then we come to the foundation. Where are you building your child? Where are you, well, what kind of tools are you using? What kind of material are you using? You know, we use rubble and whatever to build buildings, but what rubble are you using for your child? What are you using to, you know, to found your child, to make sure that when the trials come, is your child, you know, in a false anchor or a true anchor? Will their anchor rust and, you know, fall off? Or will their anchor stand? You know, will the anchor hold? Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? You know? So we come back and we say, found the true foundation is Christ, who you are building that child on. The best place to build your child on is Jesus Christ. And how, you know, sometimes we need to receive a how. We need to know a how.
Yes.
You know, people want solutions to problems. How are you, you know, building your child in Christ? For some, it's not as obvious. So it's that devotion, the family devotion that you do every day, family worship, personal devotion, your child observing you in communication with God is important. You need to set an example. It needs to come from you. Are you walking the talk? You know, you're saying you should have personal devotion. Are you having personal devotion? Are you being seen, you know, doing what you are saying should be done? And it's in your day-to-day life, how you are treating others around you, how you carry yourself, how you are, you know, your life is a testimony. Your life is a testimony. You're a sermon in truth. And it also comes to, you know, Bible stories, telling children about God. We need to pass on the word of God from day to day. You know, no day should ever pass that you haven't spoken about God to your child. And, you know, it's going to church, not just regularly, let's say consistently.
Yes.
Consistent. Church is important. These are things that we take for granted. They've just become a part of our lives. It's just culture. Yeah, we go to church on Sabbath. Yeah, we go. Oh, sometimes we go. Oh, and we don't feel like it. It's the consistency. It shows it's saying something to your child. It's saying something. It's going to Sabbath school. It's pathfinders. It's adventurous. Those are the, you know, those are the tools that God has given us. Those are the rubble that we should give to our children to get a solid foundation in Christ. And we also look at the Bible. The Bible says, train up a child, which means, once again, when it says train up, I want to talk about the up part. It's not saying train down. Train up. Which means from the bottom going up. And what is at the bottom of your child? What is there? It's that foundation. You have set your child in solid ground. It's that foundation. From the foundation, you know, from the beginning, you are going up. So set your child on a firm foundation. Then train up your child in the Lord. Teach them of the Lord. Make sure, you know, the heavenly, this one is a big one. Oh my goodness. Make sure the heavenly Father hears about your children every day.
Yes.
Every day. Are you setting your child up for a firm foundation? Do you want them to be strong in Jesus Christ while their anchor holds in the storms of life? You know, when things happen, what can they, you know, will they just faint and die? Will they, you know, just be taken by the wind and they are gone and they are turning to all kinds of things? They don't know anything. And yet you take it for granted. What I'm saying is, make sure the heavenly Father hears about your children daily. You know, there's a point where as parents, we don't know anymore what to do. We are just humans. But definitely we run out of ideas. We don't know what to do anymore. You know, fine, I might call and talk to you. I might take my child for an intervention, What I'm saying is the most important thing is to tell your child about God each and every day. And you know, like, you realize that when you have prayed about something, the answer comes to you eventually, and you'll be like, how hadn't I ever thought about that? That was your prayer, and that was God right there. That was God right there. And so I'm saying, as you train up your child in the Lord, you are also building their anchor. You are building up their relationship with God. So when sorrows come, when life happens, when troubles come, their anchor will surely hold. And I want to wrap this one up, this foundation issue, by sharing a beautiful song, Hymn 34.
Yes.
It says, I want to, a particular stanza. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever, my Lord, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well, it is well. Sharon, I want to challenge you today. What kind of foundation are you setting up your child on? What tools are you providing them with? Are you being an honest steward? When troubles come, when troubles, you know, things happen, even if, God forbid, you were to pass away today, would your child's anchor be able to hold? Or as soon as you are gone, that's the end of church, that's the end of praying, it's over, it's done, you know? Or will your child be able to say, whatever, my Lord, thou hast taught me to say, Lord, it is well, it is well, it is well.
I think, you know what, Sister Ruth, you know, we can speak forever and ever about this, but and it's very important that our young children, you know, they have that identity in Christ. So as we wrap it up, my sister, like how when they have now recognized their identity in Christ, you know, will it help them embrace their unique qualities? Because they have beautiful, unique qualities, you know, that sometimes they get confused. Sometimes they don't even see that Bona, this is you, baby girl, you know. So will that help them with that?
Okay, let me come back to the bottom of things once again. You know, identity, as I said, is such an important thing. And what we are trying to drive towards is her identity in Christ, which means that there are many other identities. There are many other things to identify with. There's cultural issues, social issues, professional identity, online identity. There are all kinds of identities. But I want to talk about two identities that it's either black or it's white. There is a worldly identity and there is a God identity. And then speaking about worldly identity, that is definitely talking about the devil's identity and on the other hand, a God identity. What am I saying? Identity is a bigger issue than we have ever thought about. Identity speaks directly to the great controversy.
Okay.
Identity, the devil is fighting to identify you. God is also fighting to give you identity. And you need to make a choice as to who you are going to be. Who am I going to identify with? A worldly identity or a God identity? Am I identifying with the devil or am I identifying with God? And with that being said, I want to talk about the worldly identity so as to answer your question. You know, when you have allowed yourself to be identified by the devil, when you have allowed the devil to identify you, when you have chosen that side of things, there are lies that the devil will tell you. The devil always sugarcoats things. That apple in the Garden of Eden looked like the sweetest apple in the world, I'm sure. It looked extra. It had to be eaten. But in a matter of minutes, just by stretching out your hand, stretching out her hand to that apple, that was it. That was the end. It was over. You know, and so the devil will lie to you as he lied to Eve in the Garden of Eden. The devil is coming with so much lies. The devil will, he wants to pull you away from God. The devil, you know, gives you a false identity where you think, yeah, this is really me. This is where I am happy. But you have a false happiness. It's false. It's things that pass away. You know, that for a moment you feel, yes, I am so happy hanging out with the cool girls that are doing sugar daddies. And it's paying off. And you are making money. You are living the life. You've got the dresses. You've got whatever, you know. You're thinking you are clever. You can tell your parents anything. It's because of the lies the devil has told you. It's because of the deception of the devil. And so he gives you a false identity, which in later moments will just be like a blanket, a warm blanket pulled off you. There's nothing as sweet as sin. Sin is the most sweetest thing ever. But it's after the devil has removed that warm blanket of sin that you realize that it was false love. I fell for the wrong side. I fell for the wrong things. You know? I you know, that's when you realize that, oh my God, it was a farce after all.
Yes.
You know? So the devil gives you things that fade away, things that don't matter.
Mm.
And it's where you now, where you have been sleeping around, you know, life was good, that you realize that, oh no, in my year of matric, I was supposed to have been studying, but I refused to listen.
Yes.
And now the results have come out and you have failed.
Mm.
Right. It's where you are now expecting a child and you are in grade 8.
Mm.
You are doing things, you are at a stage you have no business because you allowed the devil to identify you, to give you an identity. You fell for the wrong things, you know. It's where you are, you have now become the village bicycle.
Mm.
And you are the talk of them, like, ah, we've been there, done that, we've got the t-shirt. Oh my God, you are the water. Oh, it's a waste. Wow, you know, you have lost your dignity. You have lost respect. It's when you have now, you are sitting in hospital, those painful injections, and you are rotting down there.
Mm.
You are rotting. You know, I told you today, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything,
yep.
But these are the realities.
And that's what
that
we need.
Our children need to know.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
So I'm saying, let's come back to a God identity.
Yep.
It's important that you identify yourself with God.
Mm.
Parents, it's important that we are aligning our children's characters and identities with God.
Mm.
Some of us parents, our lives are fair. We're like, oh, whatever, kids will be kids. Kids are like that. We're spoiling them. We're giving them money for days. You know, I've been to Monte Cassino on a Saturday night, and oh my God,
the things
I hear. I was there with my own kids, and I'm like, oh my goodness, my kids are seeing this.
Yeah.
Why did I expose them to this?
Yeah,
that's what they want to identify with. They'll say, "Mom and Dad brought me here, so there, this was me." You know, it's little girls. You know, this is the grade 7, and she's got her little boy there who is also a grade 7, and they're doing stuff, and you're like, oh my God.
Mm.
The dressing, you know, is that what we want for our children?
Yeah.
Is that the direction we want them to go? So I'm saying, parents, let us rethink this identity thing.
Mm.
It's bigger than us. You encourage, you know, encourage your child to identify with God.
Mm.
Leave no stone unturned. You know, pray circles around your children. Your child is your wall of Jericho.
Mm.
Circle your child in prayer. Cover them in prayer. Saturate them in prayer.
Mm.
Such that, you know, they make a good decision for God.
Yeah.
And so once your child has identified who she is in God, you know, I want to come to some verses, you know, just I want to talk about 1 Peter 2, verse 9,
mm-hmm.
which says, but you are a chosen people.
Yes.
A royal
priesthood,
a holy nation, God's special possession.
Mm.
You know, our children are suffering from identity crisis.
Mm.
They are suffering from low self-esteem. They are suffering from poor body image, you know, self-image. You know, they look at themselves and they tell themselves they are ugly because they are seeing the lies that the devil is peddling on our televisions and social media, and they believe that's the truth of who they should be. And so even if you have an amazing body, you don't even see it anymore. You know, you are seeing these characters on, you know, wherever, characters of the world, and you're like, but that is who I should be. And those are the lies that the devil is telling our children.
Mm.
Those are the lies that our character, that our children are being fed by the devil nonstop. They are obese on such things.
Mm.
That's what the devil is telling our children. But look at them coming to the Bible, being told each and every day, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a chosen generation. You are a chosen people. You are God's special possession. Trust me.
Mm.
whatever will come, as long as your child has managed to identify and find herself in the books of the Bible and see herself through the eyes of God and embrace herself and love herself through God.
Yeah.
Whatever devils, whatever lies the devil is going to peddle,
yep,
your child will not fall.
Mm.
You have set them up on a firm foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You have told them who they are through
yes.
God.
Yes.
As God's special possession. They are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Mm.
They have embraced themselves. They have loved themselves. They know who they are in Jesus Christ. Boys are going to come and say whatever they're going to say. But she already knows, if God said it, I believe it.
Yes.
That's who I'm going to be. Take it or leave it.
Sister Ruth, you have spoken, my sister, you have spoken, and we have heard. And as we wrap it up, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray that as Abazali, we embrace this message, man, and we know what to do.
Thank you. Shall we pray? Our Father who is in heaven, we are living in a world, dear God, where we need to see the bigger picture, Lord, where we need to see that whatever step we are taking is a decision for God or a decision for the devil, Lord. In a world where we know that whatever we are doing, we need our children to be baptized. We need our children to identify with Jesus Christ, Lord, though the heavens fall, Lord. Father, we are just human, but we are also parents, dear God. And sometimes, God, we don't even know what to do. We don't know what to tell them. We don't know how to instruct them. Oh, Father in heaven, fill us with your spirit, Lord. Give us wisdom, dear Father, on how to handle our children. We are calling them Mama 2000 because, hey, they've become hectic, Lord. Oh, Lord in heaven, cover our children, dear Father. Cover them with your blood that was shed on the cross, Lord. Cover them, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that whatever comes their way, Lord, they may stand firm. Their anchors may not be rusty, but may they be shining silver, dear Lord, that does not rust, that does not run out, that will not fall off, dear Lord, when the storms of life have come, dear Father. Give us wisdom, give us discernment, dear God, and give our children receptive hearts, Lord, that as we speak to them in their teenage era, dear God, they may not hate us and turn away from us and resent us, dear God, but realize that, Father, we have their interested heart, dear God. This is my prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Siswam, thank you so much. You have spoken and we have heard. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you so much. God bless you too.
Amen.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID.